Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our telephone talk program. My name is David Inge. We're pleased to have you listening this morning. As we welcome back to the show, one of our favorite guests, the man we'd like to call our chef in residence, his name is Doyle Moore, and he's been coming by to do a program with us once a month. Even going back to the days when it was just black and white radio, before we went to color, for a long time, and we always have a good time. And this morning we thought that we might talk a little bit about cookies and candy, in part because the last time we were here during the fundraiser, someone called in and was interested in a particular kind of candy recipe. And we also thought that as is, you know, we're approaching the holidays, some folks celebrate some holidays here coming up, and food is really a very important part of, well, food's an important part of all holiday celebrations, but particularly at this time of year, I think people really start thinking about sweets and making cookies and candy, because for there would have been a time for some people that would have been the high point of their year.
Oh, indeed.
And
you worked toward that time.
You didn't have these things all year around.
Right.
That's what we're doing, and we'd be very happy to have, if you have a good recipe you'd like to share with us, that would be wonderful. As always, if you have some stories to tell or some questions to ask or some cooking problems that need an answer, you can give us a call. And we have something, we have a very special recipe to offer you this morning. I'm telling you, Doyle has made some fudge, some peanut butter fudge, and he brought some in, was good enough to make some and bring some in. And I just tasted it, and it was about the most spectacular thing I've ever had, candy-wise. It's extremely good, and we're going to give you the recipe. One more thing before we go here, let me tell you. Focus 580, our program, made possible in part by a grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, Homemade Pies by Inge, Gourmet Foods, Cards and Gifts, as well as Creative Crafts, Zimmer Art Gallery, and Alley Cat Wines, all housed in the same building in downtown Monticello. The Brown Bag Deli encourages you to support programming here on AM 580. Welcome back.
Yes, sir.
We're very pleased to have you back.
Well, thank you.
And we're also pleased when you bring treats.
Well, you can do your David Rosengarten imitation now. You know, when he tastes at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Except here it's true.
It may also be true on Dave's show. I don't know. But I'm sure he's a fine cook. But this is really extraordinary stuff. I guess this all started because someone wanted to know
about some candy, and we didn't get an answer then, but I may have an answer now, so
okay.
We'll work on that. And I think one of our very, very early shows was Christmas cookies. Really early. And then I've avoided it because I didn't want to get into kind of a cliche of, you know, there's 12 programs, there's 12 months, there's 12 programs. I don't want to repeat all the time, but I thought maybe it was time to do that. And we've never really talked about candy, and maybe it's time.
Well, I imagine it's the kind of thing that maybe people are a little bit – feel intimidated by.
Yes.
They think it's technically too difficult, and they just – wouldn't mess with it.
But, you see, most all of the recipes for this stuff come from our families. You know, they are family recipes. This one that I brought is a family recipe. And so they have been made for years and years. There used to be parties where you would go and make candy, you know, the taffy pulls and fudge parties and things like that, which became kind of a social activity. So don't be intimidated by it. It was there to make, so make it.
Well, fudge maybe is one of the easier candies to make.
Or it's also one of the easy ones to mess up.
Well, I guess some people, would claim that they just can't – somehow they can't get it to work.
Yeah, that's because they're a little bit heavy-handed and all this. I had a little – not a disaster with this, but something that I should have known better to do. It sugared on me. I stirred it too much, and I shouldn't have stirred it that much, and that's the secret.
Well, did I give the phone numbers? I don't think I did.
No, not yet.
If you want to call in, you're welcome to do that, 333-9455. Also, we have a toll-free line. Go anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. So if you have candy or cookie recipes you'd like to share or questions, and maybe I would ask again on behalf of the lady who called in when we were doing the fundraiser show, she was looking for an easy recipe for divinity. So if somebody has one and they wouldn't mind sharing with us, you can give us a call. That's one of those things that I remember, a candy that I remember my grandmother talking about.
Right.
And although I've never had it, I've never known anybody who's made it.
What it is, in essence, is beaten up egg whites, and then you join that with a syrup. A hot syrup. So you're beating. You have egg whites, and you're beating it. And if you don't beat it the right way, or the right amount, or right something, then it also will turn to sugar. And if you haven't brought it to the right softball stage, or no, oops, I'm sorry, I think that's hardball stage for divinity is hardball stage, and then it just doesn't work. It ends up gooey, or, you know, all kinds of funny things happen. Everyone complains about the same thing about fudge. Everyone, well, I just can't do that. Well, they beat it too much, or at the wrong time, or funny things like that. Mm-hmm. So.
We have several callers.
Oh, good. Let's have a sweet time.
All right. We'll start here. We got a couple local folks. We'll start with line one. Hello.
Hi there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a recipe. I just moved out from Pennsylvania a year and a half ago, and I think in the last program I heard you say that you have some Pennsylvania Dutch in your family.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Well, this I can remember my grandmother making years and years ago when I was really small, and then she stopped making candy.
Oh, uh-huh.
And you could buy it in the stores, but then they stopped too. And when my aunt passed away, one of the things that I wanted to take was her recipe box.
Yes.
And I found the recipe for this.
Great.
I'm very happy.
And
it's
what is it?
Potato candy.
Oh, my. Uh-huh.
Have you ever had potato candy?
I know of it, yes.
Oh, it is fantastic, and it's really easy to make, too.
Yes. Well, let's have it.
Basically, what you do, you can either take a potato and boil it or bake it.
Mm-hmm.
It also works well if you have leftover mashed potatoes. Now, if you've put garlic or herbs
on mashed
potatoes, it wouldn't work. But you basically cook the potato. I like baking it because then there's not as much moisture in it.
Mm-hmm. It's drier, yes?
Yeah. You peel the potato, and you just put it in a bowl, and you mash it up.
Mashed, yes.
And then you just start adding powdered sugar to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep adding powdered sugar to it until you get a good dough, almost like a good pie crust.
Mm-hmm. And the powdered sugar will melt just a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You won't think you'll have to use much because the potato is firm, but as soon as you put a little powdered sugar on it, it just basically turns to water.
Yes.
And so you just have to keep adding and adding until you get, like I say, about the consistency of a pie crust.
Mm-hmm.
And then you roll it out to about the thickness of a pie crust.
About a
rolling pin.
Somewhere between a quarter of an inch and an eighth of an inch.
Yeah, about that. If you want, also, this is an addition, when you're putting the powdered sugar in, you can also put some coconut in, if you like coconut.
Oh, coconut, yes.
Yeah, depending, you know, a little if you don't like it too much. If you really like coconut, you can just put a lot of coconut in.
Mm-hmm.
So you roll it out flat, and then you take peanut butter, and you spread it over the top of the potato, and you roll it up, and you put it in the fridge overnight, and then the next day you take it out of the fridge and you cut it into pieces.
And slice it. So then you've got pinwheel shapes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it is the best thing. I just started making it again about 3 years ago.
Oh, good for you.
And when I took it to my family at Thanksgiving, they just went crazy because they hadn't had it in a long time.
Hadn't remembered that, yes. Sometimes, well, you can use other vegetable purees. I mean, even sweet potatoes or something like that would also work for this. The Japanese made a candy right after the war using sweet potatoes in this manner. And also beans, lima beans are made into a powder and then sugar is added to them and used in some sweets. So this idea of using another source of flour, as it were, you know, for the dough part, is a very good folk recipe.
Yes, and apparently, talking to my one aunt, it was it was basically you had leftovers, and that's when they make the candy. Pennsylvania Dutch people are very stingy folk and don't like to waste anything.
No, and mashed potatoes, there's always mashed potatoes, and mashed potatoes were always used in some other form. I've talked several times about the fact that I was – oh, goodness, 14 years old, 12, 14, before I found out that potato salad wasn't made out of mashed potatoes and yellow mustard, because mother always made it. And of course, I always thought it was just wonderful. And we went to California, and people there boiled potatoes and cut them up, especially for potato salad. I say, what on earth are they doing? Don't they know any better than that? Wasteful, wasteful. That's a very good traditional. And now you just call it potato candy. You don't have any other name for that,
do you? We just call it potato candy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Thank you very much.
Sure, no problem.
All right, we appreciate that. Well, that's very interesting. That's certainly new to me. I had not heard of that before.
As I say, the use of these, because the mashed potatoes really is a flour that has been moistened. And so you think of it that way, then you can find that there are other things that you could sort of put together, flour and a little moistening, and then you take the sugar and make it make a dough out of it so it's malleable.
Mm. Well, the Japanese do, don't they have a number of sweets that use beans?
Like yes.
Soy
beans? No, not soy beans. Adzuki beans and white beans and lima beans, yeah. And those are all boiled and cooked and then drained and then mashed up and then added with sugar and other things. And that becomes the center of a lot of sweets. The Japanese sweets that are made like this are not very sweet. I mean, they aren't great gobs of sugar. This one would be good, though. But you'd be surprised because you don't expect the powdered sugar to turn into liquid, and it does. And you have to add more until you get – so you're working toward a different consistency, but then finally it comes out right.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. Doyle Moore is the man we like to call our chef in residence. He's here this morning to do our monthly program on cooking. We generally do a show once a month on the first Wednesday in the 10 o'clock hour, talk about many different sorts of things. Sometimes they are inspired by suggestions of people who listen. And I guess we're really doing this program because when we were here last during the fundraiser, someone was interested in a divinity recipe, easy recipe for divinity. So we're still looking for that. But we thought as we are approaching holidays that inspire sweetness and ideas about cookies and candies, we thought, well, maybe we'd see if we can collect a few recipes. So if you have a good recipe, you wouldn't mind
sharing
it with
us. We're off to a good start.
All right. Next up was also someone locally, and that is line two.
Yes, this is a savory instead of a sweet.
Yes.
The fundraiser, you were talking about oyster crackers with dressing.
Yes.
I tried it, and it wasn't real wonderful. I mean, the taste is there, but it's an odd sort of texture. I didn't know how long to bake it. I didn't know how much oil to put on.
Uh-huh.
Any suggestions?
Yes. Don't put too much oil on because they'll get soggy, and I think that the dressing that you use is not liquid, wasn't it?
It's the dry part.
It was the dry, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so what you're really doing is that you just want to have something that moistens the – in fact, I should think that you could even, if you wanted to avoid the oil, you could even spray it with Pam just so it's moist enough to collect the powder and then kind of fluff it up, and then you dry it out is what you're really doing.
Right.
So it really is a dry snack. So if it didn't –
a lot of it kind of gummed onto the bottom of the cookie sheet.
Oh, see, it got too much oil.
Yeah. Okay.
Or you didn't heat it up too much and melted the stuff in the dressing.
It was kind of dry and crumbly. I left it about 350. What I did on the
350.
On the package there are directions for doing the same thing with potatoes, and I thought okay, it's about the same sort of thing. So I put in I think a quarter of a cup of oil. Too much, maybe 2 tablespoons of it.
I think it would, and so cut back on that because what you're doing is you're starting, and it seems to me that you don't want it that hot.
Okay.
I have an idea that you did some actual cooking rather than just preparing and drying. Because all you're doing is sticking this nice taste to the crackers, and yet they don't change their shape or anything.
Right,
and
right.
My guess is that should have been a lower fire.
300?
Oh, at least, yeah.
So maybe more like making granola.
You got the right idea. Yeah, because you see, you don't want that to cook itself to death, or else it ends up as a blob as well.
Right.
Yeah. So you're just drying it out.
All right. Well,
like roasting nuts, I think even 250 would be all right. Yeah.
The family won't know the first time. The second time can only be better.
Exactly. Yes. Well, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Next caller is line number one. Hello.
Hi. I have a 4-year-old daughter, and we don't usually make many sweet treats in our house, but I thought it'd be nice for her to make some candy.
Yes.
Over the holidays. What would be easy for her to make that she could really do mostly by herself that didn't involve hot syrup?
Well, this potato candy that was just given, you see, there's no – I was going to mention that I don't know that we paid any attention to the fact that it wasn't cooked. You see, it started with the mashed potatoes, and then you bring that up by just adding the powdered sugar and coconut until you have kneaded it. And you can't – I don't – there's no way you can over-knead this because there's no glutens or anything for it to change the character of, so your child could be involved with that as much as and it would be tactile. That would be an awfully good one right now. What about syrup and cooking? So many of them do take that. You might find this is in the back of my mind, but I'm remembering a long time ago, grinding up prunes and apricots and nuts, and then forming them into a little ball, and then rolling that ball in cocoa, so that you have kind of a little fruit truffle of a sort. That would be easy enough. I don't know how you would grind them up. Do you have a Cuisinart?
Yeah.
You could do the grinding for your child, and then let them take that mixture, and then again, it's very tactile because they could roll that in little balls, and all it is this dried fruit that is then sticky, you know, and you can make a ball out of that. And I think that in cocoa would be the best thing to add to that because the two flavors are all right, and also the cocoa then it dries that ball, and then you shake that off, and you have little cocoa balls.
Just straight cocoa, not cocoa and sugar. No,
I don't think I'd do cocoa and sugar because there's enough sweet.
Sugar in there.
Yeah, there's enough sweet in the dried fruit, and you could use different mixtures of dried fruit. I saw an awfully good mixture of dried fruit available the other day. You know, there were some pears and apples and lots of other things, and so it would just be a little mixture of dried fruit and some nuts. Mm-hmm. I remember this from a very old aunt and a very long time ago. I was only 8, and this became something that she could eat, and so Mother and I made it for her, and she was so delighted. But it was going out and getting these dried fruits and chopping them up, or we ran them through the meat grinder by hand, and it was a wonderful taste. In those, we made it into a bar and then cut the bars so she could eat it like a granola bar is eaten now. But I do know that kind of little truffle could be made I was going to say you could dip it in chocolate, but then that requires heating again. I think that something like this would work quite well.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, just a technical question.
Yes.
On cutting up fruit in the Cuisinart. I've done this a couple of times, and you kind of get a
puree and a mess.
Blob, yeah.
Well, then.
Flour or something?
Now that. No. No,
okay.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
No, because you see, that keeps it from sticking. That's what you would do if you were putting it in a cake so that you didn't want the piece. Well, then just chop it up with a knife.
Okay.
And chop up enough that it would do it with a large knife, and it'll be a nice little sticky mess, but
okay.
there's no cooking and it's not hot.
Okay.
And the ingredients are good. Yeah. There could be coconut put into that, but I wouldn't put too much because that becomes something that dries it out a bit too.
Okay.
But it'll be tasty.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. To another local person, this is line number three.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, hello there.
For the lady who is having trouble with her divinity.
Yes.
You need to make it when it's dry. It's like meringues. If
oh.
thunderstorm threatens.
All right. Yes.
Make something else.
Well, I think that that's good advice because those, you know, you can't adjust anything like that. Do you have any other secrets?
I
don't know exactly what was wrong, but I have an idea that she either overbeat it or that the syrup wasn't to the hardball stage.
Yeah, those could be the problems. But also, even if you do it perfectly, if it's damp, you can have a mess.
Well, that's and the mess really makes you disheartened, doesn't
right.
it? Now, I have a recipe for divinity that is called divinity that never fails. And what they do is that they use 2/3 of the corn syrup and sugar mixture and water mixture. They put 2/3 of that while it is just at the thread stage, you see, even before softball.
Mm-hmm.
And then start mixing it up then, and then put the syrup back on the stove and then raise it to the hardball stage after, or no, put it back and cook it to the softball stage. I have to get this right or I'll get it all wrong. So it is done in two different times, and one of them sort of tempers that egg white and doesn't make it do funny things, and then after it has been tempered and then the temperature raised a little bit higher in the syrup, then you go ahead and finish it off, and it is guaranteed. Don't know what that means. It's from Louis Zatmari, who was the major cook in Chicago for so long, the Hungarian baker in Chicago. And that's an old family recipe, but that's what he says is you sort of mix it twice, once not quite as hot and once a lot hotter.
Yeah.
So that might make a difference, too.
Yeah, and to have the egg whites warmed when they're beaten.
And have them warmed when they're beaten, yes, yes.
You get more volume that
yes.
way, and you get... And I have a recipe for a chocolate candy that's not fudge.
Good.
That's real easy and probably would be suitable for a child.
All right, let's have it.
You take an 8-ounce package of unsweetened chocolate, regular mm-hmm. baking chocolate.
The chocolate squares.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a 4-ounce package, which is a whole package of German sweetened chocolate.
And sweet chocolate, yes.
And you melt those.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it in the double boiler or microwave.
Melt it, yes.
And then you stir in a large can of condensed milk. You know,
condensed milk, or do you want Eagle Brand with sugar?
You want condensed milk, not evaporated.
Not evaporated, condensed milk.
Yeah. All however right. big a can is.
Yes.
And you can add some nuts, which you should have already had chopped.
Some chopped nuts, yes.
And stir it until the chocolate is, you know, until it's thoroughly combined, and either put it in a buttered pan,
mm-hmm.
about a 7x11 will do, or put it on buttered waxed paper in drops.
In drops, yes.
And that is it.
Drop
you
on
don't
wax, yeah.
beat it, you don't cook it to any ball stage.
Mm-hmm. No, because all you're doing is melting the chocolate. And now,
this is a rich...
I want to get back again. This isn't the sweetened condensed
this
milk.
This is sweetened condensed.
Oh, it is sweetened.
Sweetened is... milk is sweetened.
Is sweetened, yes.
And it's a 14-ounce can.
Okay. Yeah, it is sweetened. That's...
Yeah, evaporated milk is not sweetened.
Right, gotcha. That's what I was wanting to make clear.
Okay, yeah.
We could even dare to say Eagle Brand because I don't know any other sweetened condensed.
No, Meadow Gold makes.
Meadow Gold does.
There are some other store brands and stuff, and they are the same. You don't have
yes.
to pay 50 cents extra for Eagle Brand.
Well, I no, but I try to be faithful. Well, thank you. Then, so you got them. You got nuts and chocolates, and then the condensed milk. Yeah,
the two chocolates, the condensed milk, And I put a teaspoon of vanilla in it.
And some vanilla, yes.
And you don't have to put the nuts in. You can have plain chocolates. They're very rich, and you need to drop them small.
Okay, so you want to keep them small.
And they're not terribly sweet.
They're not
like fudge.
Now, they harden up, don't they? Because the chocolate's been tempered, small drops.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
And you can have it, you can think about them, and you can have them done in half an hour.
Yes. Big pecans and hold them on one end with your finger and dip them in that. Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah, and you can use coconut in it if you're a coconut fanatic.
Yes, you can sprinkle it.
And I suppose I hate fruit and chocolate. I mean, I hate it.
I love it.
It tastes to me like industrial waste.
Oh.
It is so awful. I'm sure that it's my personal chemistry that it cannot taste to other people like it tastes to me. You could put candied fruit in it if that was something that you liked.
Well, I'm telling you, I do like an apricot dipped in chocolate.
Yeah, I just sour cherries are the only things that I can bear with chocolate.
Oh, well, that's interesting. That's interesting.
And strawberries and raspberries are the worst.
I see.
So orange is acceptable. Lemon is acceptable.
Yes.
But berries. Oh, it tastes metallic on the bottom of my face.
I have an idea that you are, you're right, that your chemistry says, no, this is not a good taste.
No, stay away from that.
That's it. Well, thank you.
It's very easy for me to refuse certain chocolates
at
parties.
I can see that it would. Well, thank you. That's a good recipe.
Bye.
And easy. Bye-bye.
Well, that's interesting. I think I kind of like the taste of raspberries and chocolate together.
I do.
I mean, I'm
always putting them together in a cake. I'll put a big chocolate French icing on the cake, a ganache, and then fresh raspberries on that. And I do enjoy that. Yeah.
Well, there is no accounting for taste.
Shack on ass and goo, I always say. Mm-hmm. Each one to his own taste. Please don't correct my French. I know it's awful, but it's my purpose.
The man here is the man we call our chef in residence. Doyle Moore is his name. He stops by once a month. We do these programs on cooking.
Sometimes three times a month,
sometimes,
I think.
Sometimes more. It sort of depends on the phases of the moon. I'm not sure
how
it works out. But we're always happy to see him. We're always in a better mood afterwards. And we're usually in a bad mood to start. So we like to see him. And we're talking about candies and cookies this morning, and if you have some good recipes you'd like to share with us, that'd be great. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Now, I'll tell you what, we have a couple of people here. If they wouldn't mind waiting, I want to ask you to give your fudge recipe.
I will do that. It is quick. I will do that because I don't want to miss out on this because I worked real hard making this and getting this together. This is a recipe from a foster family of mine, and this was the granddad's recipe because he was a candy maker in Southwest Kansas at the turn of the century. And this is one that the family has always continued to make. I have not ever found it in a book. I do know that other people make it, but I've never found a recipe book that has it. Things close, but nowhere as simple as this. And then I do have to tell an anecdote about this particular recipe, because when my foster mother would take it to places and, I've got to have that recipe, she'd give the recipe. And they'd say, that's all? You're leaving something out. you can't make anything with this. It does. That's the recipe. No, no, I can't make that. I can't make that. And so then after about seven or eight rebuffs like that, she quit giving the recipe and said, no, secret, family secret. No one can do it except the family. So this is the recipe. It is so simple. You can remember it. You don't even have to write it down. But it is 2 cups of sugar and 1 cup of cream. Don't use milk or water. Use cream.
Yeah, like whipping cream.
Like whipping cream. Okay. So it's 2 cups of sugar and 1 cup of cream. And you do use a wooden spoon, and you stir that up when you're bringing it to a boil, which takes 2 minutes on a good hot fire. In 2 minutes, it'll start boiling. Then you stop stirring, and you let it then boil. I turn it down a little bit so as long as it's still boiling, but not that real hard boil because it falls over the edge of the pan. You want a deep pan anyway, but just so it's boiling. And you look at it and you say, well, this is coming along all right. And you watch it and watch it. You don't go away. Just watch it. You're only going to be there 10 more minutes. And you see the bubbles begin to sort of things get a little bit thicker. It cooks down a little bit thicker. And what you're aiming for is a softball stage. Now, the way you tell a softball stage, that's why you have to stand there, is a cup of cold water, and you just dip the spoon in and then hold it over the cold water. And when it drops in the cold water, it will form a little soft ball. You can reach down and pick up the ball. Now, before that, it just dissipates, or it's in the thread stage or things like that. And within 1 or 2 minutes of softball stage, you'd swear it isn't going to happen. And all of a sudden, because I timed this one very carefully, and at 9 minutes, nothing. At 10 minutes, done. And then there are two possibilities, and one of them is take it off of the stove and let it cool a little bit. The other is forget about letting it cool, and you put in a half a cup of peanut butter, just only a half a cup, and a half to a full teaspoon of vanilla. Then you want to mix it thoroughly, but don't do such a beating, because you see with what you're trying to avoid is this mass to all of a sudden sugar up and become hard. And so I beat some the other day from I sit there and stirred it for 14 minutes, and I ended up with a pan on the end of my spoon, because it just went, it was just instant sugar, and there's a pan of instant sugar, I mean hard sugar. So then this amount will take a nice pie plate, and that's enough to fill a pie plate, and then just leave it alone and let it cool. You can butter the pie plate, but I didn't the last two because there's enough butter in the peanut butter for it to be just a little bit oily, because it brings the oil out. That's all there is to it. It's really nice. You just beat it till it's creamy and smooth. It turns opaque, and then it turns this beautiful camel color, and then it's smooth, and pour it out and don't fuss with it. That's all,
and it's extremely good.
It is, and it wants to be. It wants to be soft. It doesn't want to be hard and firm. It wants to be soft and creamy, and that's the character. At least that's the character that my family stuck to. You know, is it soft and creamy?
Okay.
Well, there you have it, Granddad Crawford's peanut butter fudge.
That's real good. Try that out there.
Oh,
let us know. Well, let's go. Let us talk with some more folks.
We got a lot of people
we'll
today.
Go next to
Hungry Folk.
Downs, line number 4. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a recipe for the woman with the child.
Yes.
Something similar to this was made at my kids' preschool when they were going there, and they called it edible Play-Doh.
Oh, how interesting.
It's half a cup of honey or corn syrup.
One half a cup of honey, yes.
A half a cup of peanut butter.
And one half a cup of peanut butter.
A half cup of dry milk solids.
Dry milk. A half mm-hmm. a cup.
Mm-hmm.
A
no, half. I'm sorry, a cup.
1 cup. 1 cup of dry milk.
And mm-hmm. 1 cup of uncooked rolled oats.
Oats.
Or 1.5 cups of graham cracker crumbs.
Let's see. 1.5 cups of oats, was that? No, I'm sorry. How much oats?
1 cup of oats.
1 cup of oats, yeah.
Or 1.5.
Or 1.5 of graham cracker crumbs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you just put the kid to work squeezing that together and kneading it up, and then you can knead it into little balls or into little
because the peanut butter and the honey then is moisture, and the dry milk and the oats or the graham cracker crumbs then is dry, isn't
it? Right.
And then they could make different shapes of it, too. And if they get bored, they could start eating it right away.
And they will.
That'd be very good.
And it's nutritious.
What color is it? Sort of
sort of a
beige?
Golden beige-y,
yeah. So it's attractive. You wouldn't want to add any food coloring to that.
No, I don't think so. And I think if you did, it would turn kind of an ugly color.
and that wouldn't be fun to play. Well, that's good. Edible Play-Doh, they call it.
Yeah.
I've not seen that. That's good.
My recipe calls it honey milk balls, but that's what they called it at the preschool.
I have an idea. It was something that they could get the kids to eat then. That's funny. That's a very good recipe. Thank you. And again, it's not cooked.
So no, the not mixture cooked at all. Things. So mm-hmm. If you have a small child, it's a great thing
that's
to do.
Good. And it is tactile. I mean, it's something to get in there and you're working with. Well, that's good. That's another good recipe.
Right. I also wanted to pass on a little more sweet bean thing.
Oh, yes.
My ancestry is Mennonite.
Yes.
My husband is from a slightly different group than my people came from.
Yes.
And they made what they called bean roll.
Hmm.
And it is simply a sweet dough rolled out to make a jelly roll kind of.
A jelly roll or a cookie?
Well, no, this is a bread.
A bread. A bread. Okay.
And like you would do a poppy seed roll. For
okay.
In fact, they do it with poppy seed also. But then they take 2 cups of pinto beans.
Yes.
1 1/3 of sugar.
1 1/3 cups of sugar, yes.
It's 2 cups of dried pinto beans.
2 cups of dried pinto beans, yes.
And 1 1/3 teaspoon salt.
Mm-hmm.
Cook the beans, drain them.
Okay.
Mash them with the sugar and salt.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's used just spread out.
So it really isn't cooked any more than that. It's just the sugar is added to the beans. It's not cooked after that. Yes.
Right.
And then you spread that out on top of the bread roll.
Right.
The bread dough, which is in a big circle.
Shaped.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's rolled up, and it's not a circle; it's a rectangle.
In a rectangle. Okay.
Yeah. Like you would make a cinnamon roll.
Okay.
And then you put this on it, roll it up, let it rise.
Oh, yes, roll it up and then let it rise, yes.
And then it's baked as a whole roll, not cut
Yeah.
And then you cut it into slices afterwards.
I see. Roll, let it rise, and then bake whole, yes.
I don't know that anybody else would like it.
Well, I think I think that they would. Now, I do have to ask a question, because where were your people from?
This is actually... what I did was I talked to, I don't know if you're aware, there are 2 books actually called Mennonite, now I can't think of the name of it, and I don't have it right here. Mennonite Foods and Folkways.
Yes.
These are recipes.
Little yellow book, it seems to me.
No, they're 2 rather large volumes.
Oh, I see. No, I don't know those.
And it's all Russian Mennonite.
Russian, okay.
But this, I believe, comes from Poland.
Well, my reason for wondering that is you see how close this is to some Hungarian things with poppy seeds and prunes.
Right, and they do make it with poppy seeds also. Usually when they serve it, they'll serve both kinds.
Oh, okay.
There'll be a poppy seed one.
So it's a European form. That's good.
Yeah.
Sweet bean roll. Well, that's good. I've got it written down here as best I can, so that'll be good. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for
good
the
call. Good to talk to you.
Yes, thank you.
We have about 10 minutes left with Doyle Moore. He's here, stops by once a month, first Wednesday. We talk about cooking. We pick some topic, and we generally concentrate on that, although anything's welcome. But here we're seeing if we can collect some good recipes for candy or cookies. And I guess mostly what we've got is...
Well, we've got a lot of good sweet food here.
Sweet.
What I appreciate this morning, I really appreciate the fact that so many of these recipes are traditional recipes with a family. you know, instead of, well, so-and-so in this book said this, you know, although I did refer to Louis Zatmari, but that was to solve a problem. I really like the idea that we are able to carry on our family's traditions and our family's thoughts, you know, by some of these cooking experiences. And that's why I thought it would be kind of good, because we are getting to a time when a lot of people would come together, and sometimes it's the only time of the year that these tastes were ever shared.
Right.
And you notice how we got to talking about, well, you know, this was an aunt's recipe, and now she has that book, and now her responsibility is to pass that book on, things like that. I like that very, very much. Like that a lot.
Okay. Well, let's talk with some more
people. Got some more, yes.
Hopeston, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
I have a divinity recipe that I'd like to share with
yes.
you. I have used it 40 years since I was a home ec student at the U of I.
Uh-huh.
We made it in the cooking lab there, so it is a small recipe. The thing that's different is that the egg whites are not beaten in this recipe until the hot syrup is poured on them.
Oh, at that point, uh-huh.
Which makes it very easy.
Yes. All right, well, let's have that.
Okay. First of all, combine 1 2/3 cup white sugar.
1 2/3 cup of sugar.
1/3 cup corn syrup.
And 1/3 of corn syrup.
And a 1/2 cup of water.
And 1/2 cup of water. Good.
And boil those to 242 degrees Fahrenheit.
242 degrees, yes.
Be sure to use a cooking thermometer.
That will do it, yes.
Okay. Slowly pour this hot syrup over 1 unbeaten egg white.
Okay. 1 unbeaten. Okay.
And then beat until the mixture loses gloss.
So is it still, it loses gloss. So there's going to be some air in that. It is going to be foamy, isn't it?
Not really foamy. The hot syrup cooks the egg white.
That's what it's doing. All
so
right.
It becomes fluffy.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And then loses the gloss. And one may add 1/2 cup nuts or 1/2 cup.
So there's only 1 unbeaten egg white?
Yes.
Oh, this is a small recipe, you said. Yes. 1 2/3 and 1/3 and 1/2. So that's only about 2 cups of stuff.
Right.
And then that's put over 1 unbeaten egg white.
Right. At room temperature.
That's interesting because, That's interesting because it isn't a lot of air incorporated in that.
Right.
And it's going to cook the egg white, and it's also going to cool down the sugar. Now, 242, is that a softball stage, or is it just a degrees that you were taught? You know.
Well, just really the degrees. Actually, we were given 117 degrees centigrade, but most.
Oh yes. Well, no, we aren't going to do that. I would have to look up and see what softball stage is at degrees, but because that's the way the rest of the recipes generally are done. And then what do you do with it?
Drop it onto wax paper.
Okay, this is the kind that you dress that because some of them are put into a waxed. A dish. So this would be dropped on wax paper, yes.
Yes. And I like it because it has a slight creamy consistency.
All right. And that's the hard part to get.
Yes.
I have an idea that doing this in this order isn't going to sugar up. You know, it isn't going to turn crisp and hard. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's good.
It was my father's favorite recipe, and we've used it many times.
Oh, well, good. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Very good. Okay. Well, bye-bye. I hope that helps. I hope that lady will make some divinity and
bring
it down.
Were you telling me you'd never heard of divinity?
No, that I had heard of it, but I'd never had it.
Oh,
never
all
tasted
right.
It. Because it's really, as I say, it's one of those things I remember my grandmother talking about.
But she also was cursing every other word. I never heard anybody.
No.
I never heard anybody talk kindly about divinity because it all, as the first caller said, don't do it on a humid day. And so, it has been the bane of of candy makers for a long time. Oh, grumble, grumble. I can't do it. I can do it. Well, you don't know how. Well, I do know how. You know, it was just always these wonderful arguments. Never about anything else. Always divinity. Which I thought was very funny that it brought out such wrath with such a kind name. It brought out such a wrath.
We'll see if we can do at least one more.
Okay. Caller. Oh my!
And that would be someone locally here, line number two. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Yes. Yes.
How would you like to have a turkey-looking candy for Thanksgiving?
Of course.
You need a square cookie for the base.
A square cookie, yes.
You need corn-shaped candy.
And some
for the head.
Candy corn, all right.
For the body, you need chocolate bonbons.
Okay, yes. Little round ones.
And then you need a cookie that has a fluted edge for the tail.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Like a fan shape, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you
And for
you,
the tail, yes.
You take the bonbon and turn it on its side.
Mm-hmm.
At the round edge of it,
you
stick on the candy corn.
Candy corn for the head, yes.
At the back of it, you put the fluted candy, the fluted cookie.
The cookie, yes, the tail for the tail, yes.
And you stick it all on the square cookie, and it looks very much like a turkey.
Now, how do you stick it down to that base? Do you have any other icing,
or just any kind of icing?
You could use an icing and stick that down. Oh, that would candy corn and a chocolate bonbon and a fan shaped cookie
tail
for the tail. Oh, that sounds good.
It really looks like
that. Oh, that's good. That's good. Gee, whatever happened to pipe cleaners and pine cones and the candy wrappers? Remember?
Well, if you want to make a pine cone turkey, but you can't eat those.
But you can't eat those.
And you use feathers on the back.
Right, right. I just remember having done all that. Well, that's a good idea because it is all edible.
It's a wonderful hit.
Oh, that's good. Thank you very much.
There's Rudolph the Red-Rein Nose Deer.
Really?
Where you use a pretzel, you cut it in two.
Pretzel, yes.
That's the hard part.
All right.
That's the horns.
The horns, pretzel, cut, yes.
You cut a graham cracker, a diagonal across.
So you got a triangle. Mm-hmm.
And this is a hard part to explain. You put one on the other, so you have a kind of a triangle.
Which is the face.
The triangle.
You have the triangle with the face. That becomes the face.
Yeah. You have a red hot for the nose.
Okay, yes.
You can either use raisin eyes or M&M candy.
Or
M&M candy is more
M&M nicer. For the face, yes, for the eyes.
You frost the crackers first with a white frosting.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
And now how do we stick that pretzel down on the triangle?
Well, you have to frost it.
So you'd frost it first, and you'd stick it down with that.
Yes.
That sounds kind of good.
Also, the two pieces of triangles are frosted together.
Oh, okay. So you put – I got you. So that's our favorite graham cracker icing recipe.
Yes.
That's good. Well, thank you.
It really makes a beautiful –
That sounds like a good holiday thing to have. Well, thank you very much. Those are good.
Bye.
And, you know, those don't take cooking, and the children could do that, too,
absolutely.
Because they could make up those two. Very good.
Absolutely. We're going to have to quit because we're at the end.
Well, I'm sorry about that because I know there's a lot of people out there who are still hungry. You know, if you don't have your fill, a friend of mine is starting a little bakery that's going to have extraordinary cookies and torts and things like that. It's on Main Street in Urbana.
Great.
Mirabelle
needs that.
Mirabelle.
Stuff like that.
And I think they're going to open tomorrow. And so if we didn't get your favorite recipe for cookies, go down there and see what they got.
Right.
it's a chance anyway.
We will try and have some of these recipes typed up. Please be patient with us. It takes us a while. But if you'll send us a stamped self-addressed envelope, we'll send you what we got as soon as we can.
And these are good this time too.
Doyle will be back next
December.
Well, it's December already.
Yes. It'll soon be next year. Thank you.
I can't even cope with where I am right now. I don't want to think about next year. Doyle Moore is with us the first Wednesday of the month. We do these shows on cooking.